But this morning, I want to just ask you, you know, if you have ever been in that situation, you know, especially when you just fall in love. Now, when the one that you love phones you, for instance, do you recognize their voice? You should. It's been 30 years now, Chris. I mean, But or what if you know you're having a bad day and the one that you love maybe just send you a little note saying, I love you. You know, this doesn't have to be a boyfriend or girlfriend. This can actually just be your mom just loving on you too and saying, listen, I'm thinking about you. You're awesome. Have you ever had that in your life where that stirs stuff in your heart? You know, it gives you sort of that space where you can move forward, where suddenly you've got vuma. Suddenly, there's a bit of, I don't know, extra in you to actually, you know, suddenly the day is not that bad. We watched a movie last night, and there's this, I can't remember what the thing's name is. Guess Who, whatever. I'm still guessing who. But there's a scene where he's now had this big thing with his wife, and he's cheesed his wife completely, and she someone went to his sister and stayed there, and this next morning now he's coming sort of, you know, humbly to her, and she and the family, her sister and some of the other girls are sitting there going like, you all right? So what are you now going to do to win back your wife? And he goes and he sort of has this poetic moment where he declares his love and his uselessness without her before all the other women. And I mean, come on, ladies. You know, they all kind of like, you know, she didn't just only go to putty. The rest of them went to putty as well. But it was such a beautiful moment for me to even, in the context of my message, to see this man wooing his wife with the words that he's speaking to her. With the genuineness of his heart, with a I love you, and I'm actually nothing without you. You know, and I think for me, how does that fit into our relationship with God? How do we walk with God? Do we still have that kind of feeling when our God is wooing us with his word? Is his word still that lovely to us? You know, there's an awesome scripture, and those of us that went through the Psalm 190 series, when we did that in small group, you would have looked at the scripture, and I just want to stand still at the scripture and the context of this scripture in Psalm 119 this morning, because I believe it will help us. Psalm 119, verse 105, which says the following, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And normally what we do with a scripture is we apply it or we quote it when we need wisdom. In a challenging situation, you know, you will say, you know, you're going through stuff and you're like, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and so on. But how do we take the scripture? How do I take the scripture? And how does it affect my life? You know, I think for me, when I look at the scripture, the one thing here is the word. You know, it's almost like I said, this man with his woman, it's his words that swayed her, it's his words that wooed her. It's God's word when it comes to us. It has an impact on our lives. Or does it? Does, when he speaks to us, does it become a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? And what does that look like? How does that change things, I think, is the questions in my heart this morning. Does the scripture only apply to limited moments? When that moments, you know, where things are tough and I really need the Lord, it's sort of almost a bargaining to, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet. You need to speak now. I need some light here. Things are going a bit wrong here. How does the word of God impact my life? Is it truly a lamp to my feet? Now, obviously, in the context of the day, they did not have Eskom. I want to almost say that's good news. Not, do we have Eskom or don't we? I don't think we can decide, you know. Sometimes we have Eskom, sometimes we don't. But they had candles. So you can imagine, if you've ever been in the bush, on a moonless night, and you have to walk somewhere, and you kind of have this little torch, and you walk. That is what they had in their context. They had these little things with the oil and the little flame, and they have to walk with this thing. But it's so beautiful how he writes this, and he goes, but even, you know, for him, it's not a massive light, but in the darkness, it makes a lot of light. If you don't believe me, go stand in a very dark room and light a match. And suddenly see how that small flame makes a huge difference. Now, I cannot even compare the Word of God to that, because the Word of God is not that small, it's not that insignificant, it's not that powerless. It is so powerful that it lights up everything. You see, we all are given time. I guess the question is, how do we use it? What do we do with our time? And how does the Word determine that or affect that? We all receive revelation from the Word. But what do we do with it? Now, is it good there and it doesn't do much? Or, you know, is it really? Are you taking it through even when it gets hard? Or does the Word only apply when it's a good word and things are suddenly going like spiggeries? All is good. There's nothing wrong. Does it really change my life? In Psalm 190, I want to pick up the story a bit earlier than verse 105. I want to pick it up in verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law." You have to love how he writes this. "Oh, how I love your law." So it's like that poetic thing. "It is my meditation all the day." You know, you have to think about Psalm 1 here, meditating on God's word day and night. It's kind of this theme running through Psalms. It comes up everywhere. All the day. "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. Understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every evil way." And I love what he writes before he gets to verse 105. If you look at it, he says, "Your word, when I have it, I am wiser than my enemies." So in other words, just think in the context of your life, suddenly you have someone who wants to, I don't know, hurt you at work or destroy you or whatever. You know, the Word of God makes you wiser than your enemies. Is that not something that is good to us, that we should desire? You know, he says, "I have more understanding than the aged, than my teachers." Every child in school will go like, "Ooh, I better read the Bible now. I'll be wiser than my teachers." It's something to consider there in terms of, you know, if I read God's word, how does that transform even my interaction with other people? Now, obviously, I guess you can become very arrogant in that setting. And you know, like, "I'm wiser than my teachers and the aged." But there's a humbleness that comes with God's word where there's understanding. And you know, can you imagine with the Holy Spirit coming in alongside us, how that understanding even escalates? How you can sit in a situation and God gives you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom and you can speak that into, and his word actually becomes directional in someone else's life. And then the other thing is, when I have the word of God, it makes me that I don't turn aside to anything else. It's this light that keeps me on the right path. It's when I get to that fork in the road that he's, the light of the word says, no, left. Because I know the truth. And through the word, I can discern every false way. You know, saints, we need to be careful and we need to remember that the devil is still out to kill, steal, and destroy. He will want to change your life. He wanted to ruin your life. And the only way that you and I can discern and really know his will is to have the word say to us, not that way, this way. I guess it's the humility that when the word comes and it's not what I thought it should be, to have the wisdom to say, okay, Father, but I'll follow you. I'll follow the light into this dark space. Now, that's before 105. Now, how many of you know what comes after 105? Because after 105, we never read. Right? There's context to the scripture. Oh, man, you're going to not like this one. But this is what he does. He says in verse 106, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I read that the first time I went, what? You swore an oath and you confirmed it to keep the rules of God, to keep the word of God. This is some major dedication here. This is a resolve in this guy's life to say that I am vowing not to look at anything. You know, when you get to the altar, don't you do that too? I'm going to marry you. I will forsake all other, for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, until death do us part. That's a vow. And this guy goes, Lord, I love you so much. I love your word so much. It's such a lamp to my feet that I'm vowing not to look at anything else. Now, but Kovas, that's legalistic. You know, that's a bit much. But I think in this person's relationship with God, it was of such that he couldn't see himself in a place where he wants to live this life without the word of God. And then he goes in verse 107. This is so interesting. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. So we have the first couple of verses, then 105, 106. He goes like, I'm doing this. And then he's afflicted. He's now in a position where, you know, it's a bit tough. And the first thing he grabs to is, God, I need your word. You know, so many times in ministry I see how people go through stuff and they don't hang on to the word. Maybe initially. A quick trial is always a good trial. And it hits you, you take it, it's gone. Yes, awesome God. Then that trial comes, and it's a bit got attitude. You know, it's kind of just like, You're like, gaan weg in die naam van Jesus. It goes like, yeah, right. I'm here to hang around a bit. I just want to stay a bit longer. I'm on your case a bit longer. And then initially we hang on to the word, and as things go on, we start thinking, but where is God? Why is he not pitching? Why is there no breakthrough? What is happening? I'm praying and there's no answer. You know what? I think this is why this guy did this. You know, David, yeah? Why he says, I made a vow to myself and I'm confirming it. I'm not going to depart from this. Wat jy, Kobus Meyer? You cannot depart. Jy is connected in the Here's word. You are connected to his word and you are not doing this. You're going to hang on. Because that's where the light is. That is where my path suddenly changes. You know, when so many times we've made a decision, we've heard God's voice, and you get to the other side of that decision and things turn out not to be the way that we expected, it's hard. Then so many times the word of God has been the only thing that we could hold on in absolutely crazy circumstances. We can say, God, but you said. The commentary on this part where he says, I sworn an oath, says this, I have called God to witness. I formed the purpose in his presence and with the with a consciousness that his eye is upon me. So I've made this vow in his presence. I know his eye is upon me. And he will carry me through this. That's not a decision that I think you make lightly. But I guess for us as Christians today, what is our commitment? What is my commitment to the Word of God? Am I willing to swear an oath before God and say, but Lord, I will hang on to nothing else? That to me is, can I say, a scary thought? Am I that dedicated to God to say, but I'm prepared to make an oath to do this? I don't know. I guess that's something that each one of us have to figure out before God. How serious am I about the Word? How serious am I about the Word actually being a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? And to what degree am I going to pursue God to see that happen in my life? Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24, and you know there's many scriptures that I can quote that confirms this. It says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hands. When I delight in the Lord, even when I fall, he will not let me stay there. It's not all fall down and it's over. He is there to come alongside me. But so many times in life, you know, I think when I was just going through the motions with religion, you know, you would get those times where things go tough, and then I could pray. Then I could really pray. And when everything was over, then it was over. No prayer required. It was fine. You know, because God was there. I'm falling, Lord. You need to catch me now. And then when he caught me, I'm like, it's fine. I'm good. That's okay. I've got this. I know none of you have done that, but it's fine. It's just me and my wife, we did that. You see, if we consider that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, if I ask you to write down some of the scriptures that are actually a light on your path, how will they impact your life? How do they impact your life? The first one that I thought of was Philippians 4 verse 6. It says this, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, no, sorry. It says, be anxious about everything. Is that not what we do? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. How does this scripture light up my path? How does it change the way that I walk before the Lord? This is what I want to know. When I'm going through stuff, Quibus, am I anxious about stuff here, or I am actually praying about this? Am I thanking God for even the answer? And even the fact that this trial in my life is establishing stuff that he is busy working in it. So many times when I've gone through a trial, and like I said on the camp, I've never done a trial where I go like, yes, just hang on a bit more, you know, and I'm enjoying this trial, just stay. We all want trials of, you know, lots of money, health, you know, lots of holiday. That's the kind of trial we want to submit to. But when the trials are not so lucky, you know, we're like, can you please leave? But every time I've looked back on a trial, I could see how God has shaped me, molded me, how my faith even was changed and challenged, and that I grew. Luke 6, verse 37 to 38 says this, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. How does that cast a light on my path? You see, and then the scripture in 38, which we all quote in the context of giving so many times, it says, given it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We use that with tithes and offerings. It's in the context of not judging someone else. It's in the context of relationship. In other words, the way that I interact with people, that I'm not judging them, that I'm not condemning them, that I'm actually forgiving them, when I do that, when I give that, pressed down, shaken together and running over, it will come back to me. So when I go, God, your word is a lamp to my feet. It is shining this light in this relationship that I'm really struggling with here with someone. Your light is shining and everything changes. Exodus 20 verse 12 says this. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. How does this scripture, how is this a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? Do I honor my father and mother? It doesn't say obey them. When you're in the house, yes, you have to obey them. But when you have moved on, you've become your own household, there's a place where you honor them. You honor them. You always honor them. It doesn't say they honor your father and your mother when they were only good to you. You see, the context here is not described. In other words, honoring your parents remains. And it's got a promise that your days may be long in the land that the Lord gives you. What I read into this, and I guess we can talk about it, is that I think many people die early because they are not honoring their parents. Because that's the promise, isn't it? See, how does the word cast a lamp to my feet? Yeah, but Corbis, my dad did this, my dad did that, and my mom didn't do this, or that and that, that. Lots of stories. It says, honor them. It's a tough one sometimes. Because now we're talking relationship. Now we're talking that, you know, I have to step out of this place, trust in the Word of God, and actually do it. Where I have to be the one that phones my dad because we haven't spoken in, what, 20 years? And go like, excuse me, Dad. Thank you for being my dad. I don't agree with everything you do, but I still love you. And then this next one, which is not the one we often talk about. But Malachi 3 verse 10 says this, bring the full tithe. You know, when I did this earlier in the week in the devotional, I thought, whew, Gubbis, you know. Because in the church world, the moment you speak about finances, people go like, excuse me, is this all this is about? But can I just read the word of God? Because it's not me. This is his words. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, I believe there's some, what I read this in the week, what I saw for the first time, I think was, if there's no tithing that's brought to the house, there's no food in the house. And how many churches are at lack in actually setting out a table before people in terms of ministry, setting out a table of the Lord to the community so that people can come and eat. Because there's no tithes, there's no food in the house that we can. You know, I've been in ministry for a long time now, and they at some point, probably what, 10 years ago, there was a big move where people started taking their tithe, and then, you know, a little bit goes to the church, and then to that evangelist, and to this missionary, and stuff. You know what I saw at that point, which made me ask the question, what is going on here? Was that we as a local church could not fulfill the mandate that God has given us in the community because there was no food in the house. In actual fact, it was to the point where they could not actually pay the staff full salaries. But they were expected to do the job. How do you do the job when there's no resources? In your company, if I take away your money, how does your business flourish? How does your company flourish? And God just says, bring the full tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in His house. This is not my house. It's His house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You have to read that thing slowly. You see, this one falls hard because how is this word a lamp to my feet and to light? Or do I go like, but this one does not apply, Quibus. This is Old Testament. If I don't do this anymore. In my relationship with God, how far am I willing to trust Him that there is a place where the blessing is so much that I don't have room, that I have no more need. There is no more need. Excuse, is that recht? Is it my glasses that I'm not wearing? Oh, there is no more need. And then verse 11 happens. And verse 11 gets me. He says, and if you do that, if you bring the full tithe to the storehouse, then he goes like, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil or your vine in the field, so that shall not fail to bear, says the Lord. So he will rebuke the devourer, and your vines will actually start having fruit. I guess the question is, if the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and stuff is not looking so good in my life, am I actually applying it in the way that he intended it to be? Now, this morning is really not about finances. I think this morning is for me, how do I tackle the Word of God? Am I actually allowing the Word of God to be that lamp? You see, because when things are now suddenly tough and things are not working out, then I go, God, but what is wrong with you? But I'm not allowing His Word to lead me in the simple things. And I go, God, but you're not faithful. You are not doing this. Where's your side of the bargain? And then I have lack because I am not allowing the Word to lead me. You know, saints, and maybe the reason for this message this morning is that as we journey through Corona, as we journeying through a life that is changing, you know, will we allow God's Word to lead us through this? Or is it going to be YouTube or the stats or whatever that's leading us? I keep saying this, but I think one of the biggest beef I have with us as Christians at the moment is that we are calling everything into life that the world is saying, and we are not calling these things that be not as though they were. We are not speaking from God's Word. We are not living from God's Word. We are living from YouTube and the stats and the news and everything. And we're just regurgitating everything that the world is saying. And then we moan because nothing is changing. But we, God's children, we are His anointed. Are we not supposed to speak life? Are we not supposed to be the light of this world? But we can only be it if the Word is leading us. You see, there's no point of having the Word in my life if it doesn't change my life. There's no point in having it in my life if it doesn't change my direction, my plans, my thoughts. If I ignore it, if I think it's not relevant, it will not have the impact in my life that it should. And I guess if, as I interact with God's Word, I should have a teachable spirit. I say, but Holy Spirit, teach me. And then obviously we have to get to Matthew 28 verse 19, which still says, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And go and teach them to observe everything that I taught you. You see, in everything that this world has done, God's mission has not changed. His word is not, has not become irrelevant to our situation. His word is life. But I guess to only the degree that I allow it to be life for me. You know, I remember when I was still young, you know, you'd read the Bible and it was good. And then I'll put down the Bible and it was done. And I remember the difference when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I actually read the Word, and the Word read me. And suddenly things started to change. You know, I remember listening to all the wrong people, but Michael Jackson used to be, you know, moonwalk and all the rest of it, and a few other artists of the day, and I remember one morning in my quiet time how the Word of God spoke to me, and God spoke to me through the Word and said, I'm not cool with that. And I got the conviction in my heart, and I made a bonfire in our braai, and we started tossing our LPs. We didn't have CDs yet. All right, so we started throwing this stuff into the fire, and it was burning, you know, and we were like going, wow, this is amazing. And I remember throwing Michael Jackson's LP into the fire, and there it laid in the flames, not melting. And I went, what? I freaked out. I was like, and the only thing I could think of doing was, in the name of Jesus, you have no authority over my life anymore. And the thing started melting. That is legit what happened. And that day I realized the power that music and the preacher on the other side of the music has. And how real the demonic is. But you see, no one said to me, Cobus, don't do that. I allowed the Word of God to teach me, and I was teachable. And since that day, I deliberately don't listen to anything else than gospel. I'm not a garbage place. Ek gaan nie laat die duiwel goed kom deposit in my lewe nie. So let's conclude this morning, and then we're going to worship. I guess the band can come up so long. You see, God has given His Word to you to guide you. It is that map that you need, that GPS that you need in your life, that I need in my life, to make it through this life. I don't think that this journey without the Word of God is what it's supposed to be. We need to regard it as important and as directional. And I guess the question is then, how important is the Word to you? Or is it just something, you know, is the app that you open, is that, you know, and read the verse of the day and maybe one or two other scriptures, is that the level of commitment, dedication that you and I have to the Word of God? You know, if you think of a farmer, if he kind of just sows haphazardly in a field, he cannot complain because there's no this abundant of harvest. But if a farmer sows deliberately in a field and the harvest then stands everything full, then I think he can go like, I think I did enough. How much of God's Word are you sowing in your life? You know, we should actually have be in a space where we go like, okay, we can't take any more people for Bible school. Please don't come. And then people say, but I'm busy. Or we say, come do an encounter. And you go like, no, you know, that's not working. Or we go on a camp and you, in any case. His word will light the way when you are tired, when you need wisdom, when you need direction, when you need anything. I've got a whoop whoop. And I want to remind you that Jesus is the word that became flesh. And he is still the way, the truth, and the life. And we still don't get to the Father without him. So will you let the word of God shine in your life? Will you allow it to guide you when it is great, or when you are in the valley of the shadow of death? Will you not fear any evil when you are in the valley of the shadow of death? Because you know that your God is with you. His rod and his staff, it comforts you. It leads you. It guides you. It teaches you. Will you sit at his table in the presence of all your enemies, everybody that wants to destroy your life, because you are sitting at his table? I still love that picture. In the presence of, he doesn't make a table and he chases the guys out. He goes like, I'm doing this in the presence of those that want to kill you. So he makes a table for you with a devil standing there going like, I want to kill him. I want to take him out. Her. And God says, come sit here with me. Come rest. Come have a meal. Get some of my word. You know that scripture says, he gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I think it's still true. Does your life, for a lack of a better word, suck right now? Then put on a garment of praise. And then the spirit of heaviness, the what of heaviness? No. It should read the circumstances of heaviness. Right? But it's the circumstance. No. There's a spirit that wants to kill you, wants to destroy you, wants to take you out. The last thing he wants you to do is worship God. To worship yourself out of a place of despair, to worship yourself into a breakthrough, to worship yourself into prosperity, into what he has in store for you. He says, put on that garment of praise. Well, I guess you have the choice to put it on. You can say, I like the heaviness. None of you like heaviness, right? I want to say otherwise, I'll give an altar call right now. But listen, the thing is, it doesn't say that the spirit of heaviness is not going to come. But when you recognize it, when you discern it, when it's on your life, then put on the garment of praise. And let the heaviness leave. And can I just say, that doesn't just happen here. This is when you are at home, too. When you're sitting behind your desk and you suddenly realize this is not lucky and you strike up a song. Will we have the courage, like David, to dance down the office hallway, going, my God is alive. May we become so consumed, so in love with this God who loves us so much that he gave us his word. That dancing down the hall of our office will be okay. And everybody will know that your God is alive. And you will just see the spirit of heaviness looking for a door. He might go sit on someone else, and then you have the opportunity to go minister there. Say, come worship with me. So I want us to worship this morning. Because His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Because Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He's the answer to everything that you and I face and still will face. We don't know what this world is going to look like. But may we go through it dancing, filled with God's Word, strong in the Lord, mighty conquerors, able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. May we be bold and courageous, but may we never let the Word of God depart from our hearts and our mouths. May we never stop meditating on it day and night. May we be so serious about His Word that it will bless us every day of the week. Transform us, change us, cause us to be light and salt in every place that we find ourselves. May that be the power of God's Word in your life. Because you are called to be salt. You are called to be light.